Hello and good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Kind of a tough week, huh? Kind of a crazy week. I'm not even sure how to start the show, to be honest with you. I'm not sure how I feel. I know how I feel. I feel terrible. I feel terrible just like you. It feels awful when the world is upside down. Everything's backwards. The Capitol has a riot from a bunch of good people. Things are out of control. It's not acceptable to have cities burn all summer long and the press do nothing about it. But that's not an excuse for what happened this week. And the president has cemented the loss of his legacy. And it feels like it's lost. That the super liberals, I mean, look at the people in Georgia. These are two unelectable people. Elected. And the market's supposed to tank. But it didn't. We'll talk about that more in the second hour. It's just stunning to see our country in this state. Maybe a culmination, if you will, of everything that happened over the past year. Maybe the past 4 years is a better way of thinking of it, building up to this year. Impeach, impeach, impeach over nothing. Lies. Made up documents. Not fair. No, it's not fair. And then we look at the world this week, and it's just so sad. So unbelievably sad. And the loss of freedom that's coming is actually kind of terrifying. It really is. I mean, the thought police, the you can't say things because now you're going to be banned on the major outlets because they can determine what is hate speech. I mean, in other words, what disagrees with the narrative. Oh, it's coming. It's always been coming. This just accelerates it. But you see, you've heard all this. I just wanted you to understand when we roll into how emotions don't have any place in investing. Because they don't have any place in investing. And if we can't learn that lesson in this year, I am not sure you ever can. We know this. But if this isn't a slam dunk exclamation point, presidential seal, if you will, statement of emotions leading everybody wrong about investing, I don't know what is. I don't think you're teachable. Nobody is. We're all emotional all of the time. It's who we are as humans. It's the way God made us. And to deny that is just, well, it's silly. It is who you are. You may be less emotional than the other person, therefore you think you're not really emotional. I don't know. But we're all emotions wrapped in skin. It's our soul. It's who we are. It's how we love. It's what's different about us. It's what's totally different. And then we face a world that is upside down, completely backwards. I stand there I can't watch the news. I can barely hear anything about it because it's so upsetting. And you can't help but know what's going on. You can't. You can't. You know, it was amazing this morning. I'm driving in, and my wife knows it's going to be a, you know, it's been an emotional week for every human being, I think. I know there's those giddy on the other side. I get that. I know. They love the meltdown of the conservatives. But they know not what they ask for. They really don't. They don't. Nobody says out loud, I want to lose my freedom, but that's exactly what is happening when you don't want the other side to have a voice, when you shout them down. So it's a really a simple thing, but she sent this just a few minutes ago. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now that doesn't mean, as Wayne Dyer goes on to say, that acceptance does not imply endorsement. It doesn't. It doesn't say we now agree that the left can shut down thought, that putting people in jail, or let's just say maybe having their taxes audited because they don't think the right way, banning their speech, it doesn't mean that. It does not imply endorsement. It merely refers to a state of mind that allows you and I to be peaceful and know the difference between things you can help to eradicate and things that simply just are the way they are. And some things right now are the way they are. They are. And I fight every day, and I'm sure you do too, to know that it's going to be okay somehow. And that things fluctuate around. They do. They move left, they move right. And sometimes really awful, unbelievable things happen to our belief system. And it really turns us upside down. It really turns us upside down. And I think this week was this encapsulation of all of that. And a year that people are in lockdown and angry. And it's okay. It's mostly peaceful riots when you burn the cities. As long as you have a shirt that says Black Lives Matter. Not all lives matter, only Black Lives Matter. Then it's okay to burn down a business. It's okay that people died. That's not an excuse for what happened this week in D.C. And I just wish Trump could have gotten to the finish line somehow. Finish line meaning just gone. But he didn't. He couldn't. And Georgia, in the meantime, was lost. But it doesn't mean the fight is lost. It isn't. And sometimes we have to take a beating to catch our bearings again, to learn the lessons we have to. For whatever reason, I don't know. I don't know why the world's upside down. But it is. It's not the pandemic. It's been upside down for a long time. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. It's okay to elect somebody who's completely compromised and sold his name around the world. And we know it is. And it's okay for the media to cover everything up. And we know they do. It's upside down. And what that has to do with investing is everything, because we're emotional. And we can't see our money without that. We have all kinds of phone calls of what happens now if Georgia's lost, if Biden wins, and so on. I'm going to save most of that for the next hour. It's just, I guess, I'm trying to say that everybody feels the same way that you feel. Crushing. Defeat. But that has no business in investing. It doesn't. And it has no business in our life to keep us down, to stop us from fighting the good fight, from having our voices heard in a positive way, not an angry way. To know that 2 years is not a long time before a whole bunch of people are going to be elected again. To know and understand that this country is like no other. Never has been a country like America. Never has. Nothing close. That we will rise back from this. It always happens. And all you have to do is a little history. And I know if you're under 40 years old, they didn't teach you any history in school. I know that. I understand you're at a handicap, but maybe, perhaps maybe, if you're actually listening to this program, you've done some things on your own to find out about history. We've faced much worse. It's just hard when you're kicked in the gut to step up and keep your eyes focused forward. It is. It's hard to look up when you're down. Down so far. This was a bad week. There's no doubt about it. It was a bad week for America. But it doesn't define a lifetime. It doesn't define our world as we move forward. It's a moment in time, and it's past. And I believe, I absolutely believe in my heart that this week was the bottom, and it's nothing but better from here. I really believe that. I got to take a quick break. I'm going to run out of time. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Jim for a moment. And then the next hour, I'm going to talk about emotions have no place in investing. None. I know how you feel because I feel the same way. I feel exactly the way you do. We all do. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Jim, how are you?
Oh, fine, Dave. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Well, as you know, technology can be used for good or bad, and maybe this is social media, but it's being used for bad, so what are you people going to do and invest and make a lot of money by buying Google stock or maybe Facebook stock? And I heard that a lot of conservatives are going to Parler, and I hear that Google is now not, you know, is going to drop Parler. So a Twitterless Trump is a castrated Trump. So anyway, this is the way things have gone, but a lot of it is technology.
Well, it is. It's a power. There's certainly been a lot of power in Silicon Valley, and they all think from the left. And, you know, if we want to talk about the election, if there's anything that was really rigged about it, I mean, there's plenty rigged about it. Wrong way of phrasing it. But to me, the most rigged thing is allowing the censorship of a conservative perspective and the enhancement for no cost, no election laws of all of, not just social media, but Google. Google search is not social media.
Well, you
it's
know,
digital search.
Conservatives may have to go back to, I remember shortwave radio we may all have to get a shortwave radio and do it like that. You know, and we would have never thought that the major network.
Go ahead, Jim. You got 30 seconds. Jim, did we lose you? Okay. All right. All right. Well, you obviously hear the music. And we are going to be taking a break here for Fox News at the top of the hour and the second hour of Money Matters upcoming. Again, emotions have no place in investing. It's been a tough week. I feel it. I feel heavy, just like you. Heavy heart. It's very sad. But we've got to move forward. We got to move forward. We're all here with a purpose. We are. We are. All right. Money Matters continues after Fox News at the top of the hour. Thank you again for joining us, and I hope you'll give us a call. Good morning, and I do mean a good morning. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming, and these are my opinions and my opinions only. It's not this station. If we talk about stocks, like Micron had a great earnings announcement. Doesn't mean you ought to own Micron. It probably means you shouldn't. Goodness gracious. I talk a lot about Apple, but I will actually talk about Apple in my monologue here. Doesn't mean you ought to own Apple. I don't know what you have or what your goals or objectives are. What I know is that in this world, honestly, and D, if you'll just hang on with me, okay, we'll grab you here, but I've got to open us up this hour, okay? A lot going on in the world, as you well know. But as we look at our investments and we see the market going up and we see our world melting down, it doesn't make any sense. And then you add on top of that the simple truth that has been known for centuries. Right? The old term was, if it bleeds, it leads. Fear, bad news, sells. I couldn't even read with any depth at all Friday's Wall Street Journal. Personally, I couldn't do it. And they're not out to crucify Trump. I should say they weren't. They are now. The thing is, we get buried in fear. I've talked about it for decades. I can't believe I've done this show for well over 30 years now. And it's always something to be afraid of. Always. When I started in the industry, we were at 20%+ interest rates. And that is not misspoken. We just got rid of Jimmy Carter, who came after Richard Nixon. You think that politics are bad now? This is not new. It's not new. And I'm not in charge, and neither are you. So we can sit there as human beings and fuss ourselves up as much as we want. We can go in and we can look at our accounts and count how much our net worth is. Is that our net worth? Is that our net worth? We can sit there in between and we can watch one report after the other and watch somebody breaking glass somewhere. Somebody standing in indignation. Impeach Trump. And think that doesn't affect you? It infects you. It always has. We have news coming out at us like a fire hose, like trying to drink out of a fire hose. And you can't adapt to it. But you won't admit it. I get it. I want more. I'm more concerned. I want more information. More is not clarity. Never has been. Never will be. And fear leads us down the path of very bad decisions, always. We don't turn to somebody who's running around like a chicken with their head cut off. What do we do? What do we do? We don't turn to people like that. We shoot them. And we should. They're disruptive. They cause problems. They don't help. And you're not helping yourself. Emotions have no place in investing. None. But I just want more data, and I want to know. And I'm going to tell you what I know and what you knew as this year began. If there was a pandemic that took us down in the second quarter, the worst GDP drop since the Depression, you would know how bad stocks would be as an investment. You would not be figuring they would finish the year up 16%, 43% for the NASDAQ, 43%. And if you missed it, you missed it. It's gone. This is not a game of trying to get in and out, back and forth. Sure, there's day traders out there. They typically go bankrupt in 6 months to a year. Absolutely, all over the web are stories from the guy that got it right in the 2008. The guy that called the pandemic. This guy over here that saw the gold rush. The Bitcoin guy. Full of it. And now they're calling for the crash. Same people. Crash before. Crash before. The crash before. The crash before. The crash before. What does crash mean? Down 10%, certain to occur almost every single year. On average, less than a year. In other words, we might have two crashes of more than 10% this year. On our way to all-time highs in the future. Emotions have no place, but call after call for everywhere around the world. Not just us. What are we going to do if the Senate goes? And here we are again. Dead wrong. All of us knew that if Biden won and the Democrats controlled Congress, the market would crash. It didn't. Weird how we don't know the future. So weird that even if we have the data, the outcome correct, we don't really know the outcome of the markets or the economy, do we? So weird. All of our life, we've found turn the corner, decade after decade, and the great wisdom we come back with is you can't know the future, except we think we do. And so we read, and we read, of course, in the wrong places because the headlines grab us. And what we do is we like to be scared. We like to be angry. Now, you say you don't, but why do you do that? Right? I mean, why do you keep reading people that get you angry? I mean, there's times to get that information, but there's most of the time, it doesn't help when you're angry to read things that make you more angry or do things like sit in front of the TV to get you more angry. This isn't right. It isn't right. It's not right that cities burning is okay. It never was right. But that doesn't make it right what happened last week. It was wrong. Everything was wrong about last week. And the only way to control ourselves is to walk away. Put it down. Close your eyes. Watch something nice. Listen to music. Talk to your baby. See your grandkids. Do something positive and productive. And clear our minds before we ever even think about what to do. I feel so sorry. It is. It's one of those things. You look back at this year because it's just encapsulated into bad behavior. Every lesson under the sun about investing this year. What not to do. 2020. Here's what not to do as investors. And we know by money flows, absolutely, most people did that. There's literally $17 trillion with a capital T, trillion, at negative interest rates on this globe. Does that make sense when you can own, Pfizer or dozens of other companies that have great history, great cash flow, great balance sheets that yield more than 3% and they raise their dividends historically every year or most every year? I want to pay people $17 trillion, a whole lot of money. I want to pay people to hold my money. Does this make sense? That's fear. And then in the United States, tens of trillions of dollars. Cash makes me feel better. Oh, we want to, at least with inflation, we want to lose a little bit of money every year because you feel comfortable. Yeah, that's being a great steward of your resources. Super job. Well, but I'm afraid, but it makes me feel comfortable. I get it. I understand. There's lots of things that I do as a human being. They're not good for me, but they make me feel good. Make me feel better for a second. Sometimes we got to get over these things and quit looking for reasons why we do the wrong thing and we behave the wrong way. See, when we're emotional and we're afraid, we then fill in the blanks for why it's not emotional and just being afraid. It's logical and well thought out. I'm just being conservative right now. See how things will come out. I'm just going to step aside in the pandemic and get back when? Because you're trapped out. I mean, real life examples roll in front of us all the time. I'm not making fun of them if they happen to be listening. We just have to learn. Smart guy after smart lady after brilliant couple, we all get caught in emotions. And then we watch so much, it's like we're arguing about it. I remember we had this conversation this week, Jennifer Stone and I, because she has this client that she works with, we both do. But she's been working with him about, I don't know, this goes back a few years. And she was always fussed, always had a reason why. And she came in, she says, I don't know what to do. Would you please talk to her? Just give her a verbal slap, see how it works. And you know what? She's been the greatest person ever since with complete peace. Sometimes it works. That's why we exist. That's why we have purpose. That's what makes us get up every day. It really does. And then, unfortunately, you can't save them all. You can't. You try, but you can't. It's up to each person out there. You decide if you can be saved. You decide when you listen and when you don't. Or we make excuses if we want to be honest, that we don't want to change. But you see, those are the ones, they do break your heart, but you have to come to a point, and we do, where we realize we can't save them all. We try. But literally, you once in a while you get lucky and the money goes in at just the right time. And these folks had sold a business and literally like a couple million dollars came in at just the right time, right? Like April. Yeah, I'm not saying the dead bottom, but pretty close, right? And they're really nervous about it. I totally get it. But they don't need this money, so it's invested. They don't need anything. They don't need any income from it. But nobody wants to throw it away. I mean, it's important to them. It's important to us. But it's invested. And it's like it's a home run. I mean, it's like, boom, everything's up, you know? You own Microsoft, and you own Apple. And, I mean, it's just awesome. Couldn't be any better because they were purchased at fantastic prices, and, of course, the market rewarded everybody all summer long. And then they got all fussed up about something. I don't even remember now. The coming election, probably. That was a good one. I'm sure it was, and it's real. And they're all fussed up, and they have to sell out. So short-term capital gains are paid. They think about it because they've been talking to their really smart friends. Remember, if somebody has money, they're really smart investors. Don't forget that. We hear it all the time. If somebody has money, like they sold a piece of property or inherited money, they must be really smart investors. Of course, they're not. But their friends that they travel with are really smart, and they all went to cash because they knew they had to. So they finally convinced them to go to cash. So they did. And we had a long talk and da-da-da-da-da, right? And now it's like we can't do this again. They want to reinvest because they've realized they've made a mistake. And they missed a pretty good run, but that's okay. And, of course, guess what? The market keeps going higher. So they win again. And now last week, that's it. It's too much. Can't do it anymore. This is money you don't even need, and now you're already suddenly you're trading. We can't save them. They're gone. They'll never come back because they're a basket case that can't learn. And it's too bad. Imagine what you can do over the years, giving it away. The earnings alone on a couple million dollars, and now it's sitting in cash. This is story after story. Don't be that story. Emotions don't work. Fear sells. You get into bad products with high commissions. You get into gold. You get into all kinds of things you have no business being in. You try to trade stocks instead of owning the great corporations. Do you think the number of iPhones in the world sold by Apple this year would be different if the Senate was red? You're right. It wouldn't make any difference at all. At all. Yes, it affects business. I get all that. But owning the great corporations, and I mean owning them, means they go up and down. And ultimately, you get rich. I heard this statement, and we all know it's a lie, but I heard it this week, that Warren Buffett's, one of his rules is to never lose money. God, that's unbelievable. It's like, obviously, you don't know Warren Buffett. He didn't say that. It's not possible to not lose money in investing. It's not possible. Every day, prices change. Values don't, and in the end, values win. And we all make wrong decisions in investing. That's why you don't be all or none. Can't be. You can't be. John Templeton said it best when he said, if we're right 2/3 of the time, you're legendary. That's all it takes. Doesn't even take that much. It doesn't take that much. But you see, if you're scared out all the time out of your Apple, it doesn't go up 10, 15, 20 fold. You're out as it keeps rolling. We got to put this in the right context, and I've got to go to a break. I thank you for listening, and I thank you for the privilege of being here every weekend for over 30 years. It's an amazing honor. It is an amazing honor. Emotions are great in love, but they have no place in investing, in planning our futures. Listen. Listen to your advisors. Listen to your heart. You know I'm right. Don't let fear invade your clear thinking. Don't let it happen. It's going to be okay. It always is. Our number, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. All right, here we go. Enough of me. Let's hear from you at 580-KIDO. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. By the way, if you miss anything you want to catch, you want somebody to hear, these podcasts are downloaded the Apple Store automatically if you sign up. And also, they are there all the time. Tuesday, this should be there. Kevin downloads them, and we upload them or something like that, I think. I know. I don't really know how that works, but that's what happens somewhere in between. So if you catch those, catch the podcast. We do have people. It's really interesting when you go to these and see people like in Russia that are listening. And obviously, it's military or something like that. But God bless you for your service, for those of you who are overseas and away from your families. And I know the price your family pays, because we've got military in our family too. So it's a big price. Thank you. And let's go to Dee, who's been waiting forever. Dee, thank you.
I'm wondering if you can give me some information on IRA withdrawals.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
My husband passed away last year, and I was wondering which is the best way to handle a withdrawal. To handle it with me as the beneficiary on his account and then take out mine on my own behalf, or I was informed maybe I could roll his fund over into my fund.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happens, Dee. As a spouse, you roll it into yours.
I should do then. It just takes one withdrawal in on my account.
Based on your age, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's correct. That's the super easy thing to do. It already is in your name. It's not a beneficiary IRA. There's two different things, and I don't want to get into the weeds here. You are the beneficiary of the IRA on your husband, but it just becomes yours at this point.
Non-spousal is different. It shouldn't create a tax consequence.
Absolutely not, Dee. Absolutely no tax consequence. And you did not need to make a withdrawal last year because of Corona. But this year you'll have to pick that up again if you're over age 73.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Now, can you answer me another question? I just recently got a check in my husband's name.
Mm-hmm.
How do I deposit that as his power of attorney?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it may continue to happen. So there's two ways to do that. I would either leave an estate account open for a couple of years, just checking account, so you can do that. And I'm sure you've been named the executor, so you still have powers to do that. You probably had other business that you were doing as executor or administrator of the estate. So I would just take those papers to the bank with the check, and just take all your papers, and they'll take what they need, or set up an account that will make it possible for you to do
that. Okay, now this is a tiny check,
yeah.
And the bank is not in the town I live in.
Whatever bank you bank at is okay.
Can I just sign it with his name and then put my name below his power of attorney? Or?
Quite probably so. But you know what I would do? I'd just take that in when you're to your bank. And that way you're doing it correctly, how the check is made out, and how your account is stated.
Yeah, but my bank is not in the town I live in.
Oh. Well, you don't have any banking here in town?
I do have a bank here in town, but it's not the bank I want the money to go into.
Well, okay. Dee, you can always, once you get it where you can control it, it's just basically in your account, you could transfer it to your other bank that you want it to be in.
Okay.
Okay, but just get it handled locally so you can get it handled.
But if I were to assign a check that was in his name, mm-hmm. how would it be endorsed?
Well, my guess is it depends. See, it depends on how the check is and how your account is stated. If it's a joint account for you and your husband, my guess is you could just go ahead and sign the check. And that's why I think it's best you walk in. If you just still have an open joint account.
Best advice. Okay, thank you very, very much for your time.
Dee, you're welcome. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Our number is 580-KIDO. Hey, Terry, hang on. Let's go ahead and get Fox News out of the way so we can do justice, okay? And our number is 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. We got plenty of time left in today's program to take your calls if you'd like. If you prefer email, there's also time for that. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right, let's go ahead and go to Terry. Terry, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Well, did I have an option?
No, you had no option at all.
How you doing, Professor?
For waiting, but yeah, your option would be to hang up and say to heck with that.
Well, yeah, but I can't get my bad opinions out on the airways this way. You know, if I hang up.
No, that's true. You can't, and yeah, that's absolutely right. So you made the right choice because we want to hear from you.
Well, no, I almost wanted to lead off with my typical sell everything, but I didn't think you'd appreciate that today.
Sky is falling.
Yeah. Well, to quote Hazel Stone from one of Robert Heinlein's books, when in trouble and in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout.
Yeah, there you go. That's perfect. That's the classic expression of most investors, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been bouncing around with all the troubles and whatnot, and remembered a book that was written by Judge Bork back in the 80s, Slouching to Gomorrah. And once you abandon the rule of law and due process, you get more lawlessness, i.e. Portland, Seattle, Kenosha, all that stuff. And it clicked into place, the Laffer curves, the same thing. You tax too much, you get less tax revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's just I'm trying to make sense of all this. The comfort of reading or knowing Bible verses, Galatians 6:7, as you sow, so shall you reap.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You just got to sit back and I don't know. Save me here. I ran out of ideas.
No, it's good. I like that. And you got my mind going on a couple things. It's like I started today's program with this, and I know not everybody catches every second of every show, so I think you just reminded me to read this again.
Yeah, well, they catch the podcast, so that's the good
news. There you go. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, it goes on one step further, too, though. Acceptance does not imply endorsement. It merely refers to a state of mind that allows you to be peaceful and know the difference between things you can help to eradicate and things that simply just are the way they are. And, you know, that also back to what you're talking about, you know. One of my favorite scriptures for me, isn't that the beautiful thing about it, is there for everybody, but is, you know, be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, did I have that coming to me all week long? You know, just over and over. Because we can't help but try to fix this problem and worry about it and fuss about it and wreck our lives about it, maybe make bad financial decisions about it, get angry with people that don't deserve our anger.
Yeah, I go back to the late, great Dr. Wally Pond from out at the Guard. He always said, there's something you can do about it and nothing to worry about. Or nothing you can do about it, and nothing to worry about. I know that's trite, but it's a good way to think of things.
It sounds like it's trite when you're angry, right? But when you take a moment to say, "Hold on, what can I control about this situation? Only me and my emotions. I can't change it."
Yeah, and well, I know I keep getting a little exercised every time I say it, but what I say to every broker I've ever talked to, it's only money. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's bigger things out there to worry about.
It's true. And
I know that's sacrilege, but
not at all. Not at all. It's something we remind ourselves every day, but it's so important to people that we also remind ourselves how important that is. And if I can go ahead and preach one more thing about that, I don't care what side of the boat you fall out of. the kind like I do, that I cling to money tightly. I'm really good with it, and I know how to grow it, and I have been blessed with much of it. And do I cling to that? And then I make fun of the people on the other side that can't hang on to money. They mismanage their affairs. They go into debt. They're basket cases. It affects all their relationships. See, I don't care which side of the boat you fall out of. We all have to find balance somewhere, because we're both manufactured. We're all manufactured one way or the other. We have a tendency to lean to the right, lean to the left on our values of money. And I think it's important for us to understand that and put it in the right context and know what we have to work on.
And as you learn, grow too soon old, too late wise, I'm finally learning to just give away what Erica lets me have for allowance.
Exactly. And boy, does that feel good, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah. Over-tipping is one of my latest pleasures, because the surprise on people's faces.
Nice.
And so, it's a vicarious pleasure kind of thing, but oh well.
I like that. That's good. All right.
Well, you take care, sir, and thank you for your time.
You do the same, and I thank you for your call today, Terry. Have a good day.
And relax. It's your show. Have fun with it.
I will, darn it. I think I am having a good time, though. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, David.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And yes, it's a heavy week, but it's also a fun week. I want to tell you all something on a fun side. Fun side, I don't know if that's the way to go with this. But I think I saw one of the best movies I've ever seen. Now, maybe my heart was just right at the right moment, but it was a shock. Shock how good this movie was. But bring a box of Kleenex, because it's both good and it's very sad. But really, the story is amazing, and it came out of nowhere. I'd never heard of the movie until my dad recommended it. Said they just stumbled across it. It was on Netflix. I don't know where else it is. But the movie is called Greater. G-R-E-A-T-E-R, Greater. And wow, what an inspirational young man. And an inspired movie. And the only thing I can say is it reflects on, talks about God way too much. And this guy is a absolute living saint. Maybe that's why it just doesn't get the credibility. But boy, was it good. And I really highly recommend it. If the kids are young, it's kind of sad. So I probably would avoid that. But it's certainly, other than that, I'm not sure I heard a swear word last night. What a riveting 2 hours. We didn't move. It was a great movie. Hope you watch it. Called Greater, and we are going to take a break right now, and then we're going to wrap this up, hopefully with your phone calls at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, we've got plenty of time left if you want to ring us up. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So much news this week. So bad. And, of course, we reiterate all the time, this is not to make fun of people. But why emotions don't work. They cause us to do things that are irrational. Sell businesses at cheap prices. Great businesses. Phenomenal businesses. Because we just get wound up. And, you know, it's one of those things, it's a funny thing. We all have different personality traits, right, where we... any couple is going to be, somebody is going to be a little more wound up than the other one, right? But it can be disastrous when it comes to money. When one person feeds off another person. So be careful of that. Help each other. I understand how you feel, because I feel the same way. This world is upside down. But we don't want to overreact to that. How about we take a walk? How about we go see the grandkids? How about we take a drive? How about we turn the TV off tonight? Let's find a good movie. Let's just watch John Wayne kill the Japanese in World War II. You know, something, right? Go right off. Let's watch Clint Eastwood go save the town or burn the town and then save the people. Who knows? It's both, right? It's another old spaghetti westerns. Something to pull us away from feeling this way. We all do. What's happened to my country? Frightening. What happened to my president going out like this? It's sad. But you know what? We really are. And all of history says this. I'm just not being Pollyannish. All of history says this. We're coming back, man. Probably better than ever. How crazy is that? No, you know, I say probably. That's not really true. It's always been that way. And we swing too far this way and too far that way. It's what happens. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. It's easy to do in the time. But I'm not being Pollyannish, I promise, to say it will be okay. And you know what? The market's telling you that too. And if you make bad decisions on emotions, you can't come back from that. Just don't do it. Bob, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. I'm looking at a chart of bond funds from a mutual fund company. I don't understand the returns. If bonds supposedly weren't supposed to be a good place to be, and I see returns anywhere from 3% up to 15%, anywhere from a duration of 2 years up to 6 years, and investment-grade core bonds up 10%. Can you explain what happened with bonds last year if they weren't supposed to be the place to go to?
Sure, absolutely. Great question, Bob. First of all, you have to be careful because if we're talking about some of the funds, we'll use different kinds of leverage, so be careful of that, okay? Closed-end funds almost always do. I don't know of any that don't use leverage. So there's also different ways of using leverage, meaning not borrowing, okay? Because there are positions that will lever up moves in interest rates, okay? So be careful with that. So when we say something simple like the duration is only 6 years or it's 2 years, that's why you're going to see such varied returns. But it's not just pure duration. You also have credit duration, all these other things. Okay, so I'm getting into the weeds to say this. Be careful and find out, is this fund using leverage? Before you say, wow, these guys are the smartest people because they did 12% and these other guys in the same sector did 10. Okay, so find out why. They probably took more risk, right? Some way they did. So what you're looking at probably up to 15 is high yield bonds. They certainly have done well because the recovery is expected next year. And this economic depression we went through wasn't anywhere close to as severe as economists had predicted, meaning prices fell further on high yield than they should have. And as far as bankruptcies, there's not going to be anywhere near as many, number one. Number two, if interest rates continue to drop, and in this pandemic they did, and the Federal Reserve, of course, helped by buying bonds, driving them lower, promising zero interest rates forever. So you saw treasuries for a while at 0.5% and below. 10-year treasuries, 0.5%. Now they're up to 1. And happy days are here again because we're just going to print money and spend it, and the grandkids can pay it off. Okay? We don't have to worry about it. So things are great today, meaning they expect the economy to be just terrific in 2021. And I would too. I don't think they're wrong. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to see corrections in the market, as we should, because we're already ramping up. We had a huge up year in a down economy, predicting an up economy in 2021. Markets move in anticipation of events. So again, you have to watch the time frames you're looking at, which means have interest rate. Are you looking at returns when interest rates, say a month or two ago, were at 0.6 and 0.7? 5%, or are they really to today? Because some of the bond funds have not done very well in the last week or two because interest rates have, they've spiked clear from 0.8 to 1% in just the last couple weeks. So watch those returns for the last couple weeks as well. But, Bob, they weren't the place to be because if interest rates on your bond, if you bought a 10-year treasury at 1%, and then rates drop to 0.5%, yeah, you made a little bit of principal. You're still only getting 1%. So unless you sold that bond, went to cash, and now bought back in, you're right where you were. That price of that bond is right where it was because we're back to 1%. So at 1%, can you beat inflation? No, not over the next 10 years. You can't. So why is that? That's why we say, are bonds a bad bet? Yeah, they are. They're very high risk right now. Extremely high risk, extremely expensive, extraordinary. We talk about a bubble in stocks. I've never seen a bubble in bonds like this. If you're talking about a 1% 10-year treasury, that's like 100 PE on the market because you're going to get 1% per year. One. And your share of earnings on a 100 PE stock is one. It's the same. So we talk about a bubble in stocks because they're at 20 times earnings or whatever. It's nothing compared to bonds. And that's the other reason that stocks should be higher, and they are higher, because the alternatives don't exist.
So what you're saying, if you look at a bond fund, and it's considered a core bond fund, everything isn't quite what it may seem to be?
Absolutely.
You have to dig deeper?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, that's 100% what I'm saying. You can call your fund anything, and it can be categorized as core, but it can also have some strong components of leverage and or high yield. Both bring an additional risk to the equation. And if things work, you're going to get a higher return. If things don't, you could lose money on that, while the other core, safer funds. So find out what kind of bonds they own, and it will really help you understand it. And also look at the returns during downtimes. And what are downtimes? Pandemic, beginning of the pandemic, how far did it fall compared to other funds in its category? Therefore, it takes more risk and more leverage. Number two, you can also look during rising interest rate times. Same story. Very hard to own bonds during rising interest rates. How much did they lose?
Is that the same as looking at it at a AAA or a B or lower?
No. No, it's not. That's the high yield side, so that's correct. But you also need to look internally and look at the returns during those time frames that will also indicate on the part that's hard to see in a, quote, core bond fund. Because a core bond fund may be double Bs. But do you really think that all double Bs sell for exactly the same price? Or are some of them in the energy space and may, in fact, go to zero because they're really highly over-leveraged? But all it says is it's double B or triple B. It's right there at the investment grade area. Others may be double A's in the same space and are taking materially less risk. So that's what you need to look at, not just the rating, but also the performance during those periods to indicate how much risk there is in your fund.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. And we are out of here, out of time, and I hope you all have a great week. Seriously, we're all in this together, and we are. And our country is going to make it. Have a great rest of the weekend.